The Candid Cast with Lucky Agede. Season 2, Episode 2, In Brotherhood We Stand.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Candid Cast. Today, I want to talk to you about In Brotherhood We Stand. It's a line I have drawn to draw our attention to the dangers of tribalism and the need to actually stand in brotherhood as contained in the old national anthem that has just been restored as the new national anthem of Nigeria. Before we continue, I will encourage you to subscribe to our channel, The Candid Cast, on YouTube, and also follow us on Instagram and other social media channels, including the Facebook and on your podcast. In Brotherhood We Stand, we are drawing attention to tribalism in modern state. When we understand the origin of tribalism, we'll get insights into human social behavior, the group dynamics, and intergroup relations. Tribalism remains as the root of the foundation of society, because society started not as a nation as we see it today, but tribe influenced everything that we did at that time. There were no national laws and no national boundary. Tribe was the basis of cooperation. Tribe was the basis of fight. Tribe was the basis of every unity and cultural relationship. The earliest human forms developed social structure around their tribes and it helped them to survive. And what were they doing among this tribe? It was literally or largely war. War of conquest, defense of themselves from external aggression. They knew themselves. Every tribe was described themselves as we, and every other tribe that is not speaking the same language with them as others. This was a means of distinction between the us and the them. Tribalism originated in the need for survival and cooperation within the tribe. Loyalty to one's tribe was essential for collective defense from invaders and external aggressors. This was as important as tribalism was at that time. We now look at how it plays out in Africa. As societies evolved and tribes started merging, especially in Africa where colonial masters merged tribes that were previously at war, forcing them to become one nation and to know themselves as one, as we have in Nigeria as an example. We become one nation. These are people who have been at loggerheads in the past. The concept of tribe became a political tool to lord it over another group. A man from Zamfara, for example, does not see anything wrong in enjoying Delta oil as national wealth of Nigeria, while the good of Zamfara belong to Zamfara. It looks fair in the eyes of the political class, but the genuine brotherhood in nationhood, where people have dissolved tribe and decided to make progress, everything is brought to the table. And when the British gave us this national anthem, it was with a view that the various units, the different cultural groups developed along their own line. The North had granite pyramid, the West had their cocoa, the East had their palm oil, and every unit was developing accordingly. The only beneficiaries of tribalism today are the politicians. In 2023, it was election year. We needed to be as divided as possible by our politicians into tribal lines. In 2024, election is over. The benefits of victory are circulating at the top. Tribalism is on hold until 2027. The same politicians now remember that tribes and tongues may differ for the next 2 years. In brotherhood, we stand. The truth is that we should remain brothers before, during, and after elections if we are to enjoy meaningful development. I encourage all of us as Nigerians that we should be brothers and not allow any politician to divide us anymore. From the decimated judiciary, bastardized defense system, we need to build a nation where truth and justice truly, truly reigns. Believe what they say. Truth is told in years where there are no elections. This is for the records. that when they come in 2027 to tell you you are of one tribe and another person is of another tribe, remember to tell them, in brotherhood we stand. Tribes and tongues will become irrelevant from now. There is inflation. There are tough policies. There is need to be patient with government, irrelevant of your tribe or tongue. Transportation cost is killing us, irrespective of our tribes. Medical costs have hit the roof, notwithstanding our tribes. There is mass hunger and poverty, unemployment, except for those from the political class. Nigerians, be wise and agree with what they say in the non-election years, but enforce this same truth when it is time for election. Tribalism is not limited to Africa. In the early times, when before nationhood and modern society came together, Europe, for example, had their own tribes. They don't all speak one language. In modern Europe, the traditional concept of tribe, as seen in indigenous African societies in particular, or early human civilization, has evolved into different forms of social and cultural groupings. While European countries are characterized by diverse ethnicities, language, and cultures, the term tribe is not commonly used to describe contemporary social structure. Instead, modern Europe is home to various social, cultural, and political groupings that reflect the region's rich diversity and historical legacies. They also had tribes. They have allowed tribalism to be killing us in Africa, while it is not discussed in Europe, because development is of high priority. We want our tribe to get all the political positions. Have we been better for it? The tribes with the most political dominance in Nigeria has the highest poverty rate, the highest illiteracy rate, the highest out of school children. Tribalism is a tool in Africa today used to comfort the oppressed while the oppressor continues unchecked. Arms and ammunition are made in Europe and America for wars in Africa and Asia. Check the trend and ask yourself, who arms the kidnappers, the bandits, the religious murderers? Those arms and ammunitions and all the weapons of mass destruction were not produced in Africa. The only visible export that keeps America going is export of deadly weapons of mass destruction. And these wars are not waged in America. They are waged in ignorant African societies, one tribe against another. From the 15th to the 19th century, Europe and America armed one tribe in Africa against another to capture African slaves as commodities for the transatlantic slave trade. Several years after abolition of the slave trade, we are armed one tribe against another in the name of farmer-herder clash. These clashes never happen in the farms. People are murdered in their sleep. Our resources are building Europe and America. Our stolen commonwealth are warehoused in those same countries that call us fantastically corrupt. They don't reject stolen goods when they see it. They pick it. It's from Africa. And their economy is built on the stolen wealth of Africa. We need to wake up and stop our tribalism and move to modern development, like we have seen is shown in a few African countries already that have been able to resist tribalism. While the traditional notion of tribes may not directly apply in modern Europe, the continent's diverse population and cultural landscape encompass a range of social structures and group identities. These diverse communities and organizations contribute to Europe's multiculturalism, pluralism, and social cohesion, highlighting the rich tapestry of identities and affiliations in the region. In summary, they have tribes, as we have in Africa. While we allow our differences to kill us, they exploit theirs for development and growth. Just imagine a restaurant in Nigeria that will display array of Nigerian foods from Calabar to Sokoto and from Lagos to Maiduguri. The varieties that you will find will be amazing, and you will struggle for crowd control. What we have today: Calabar Kitchen for the Calabar operator, Nwanyi Owere for the Owere operator, Oyo Amala for the Oyo operator. These things can come together, and that is where the tribes and tongues may differ. We will begin to make sense out of it as we become one and run in pursuit of brotherhood. Any attire put up by Epis will be called Nigerian attire and not Igbo attire. We are projecting something to the world. We are projecting Nigeria. It does not matter the tribe that the person who did the building of Nigeria is from. He's projecting Nigeria. And we all need, as brothers, to give the support that is needed to make it happen. This will help to keep our oppressors in check. Take the Rwandan example. From the day Rwanda knew that tribalism was an agent of underdevelopment, agent of murder, agent of destruction, Rwanda has made significant progress in addressing tribalism and promoting national unity following the devastating genocide that occurred in 1994. In the aftermath of the genocide, the Rwandan government, under the leadership of President Paul Kagame, look at the economic effect of ending tribal conflicts in Rwanda. And that will be a lesson to the rest of Africa. Rwanda has experienced remarkable economic growth and development from 1994 to 2024, with the country undergoing significant transformation in various sectors. Let us look at some of the achievements in a space of 30 years. Post-genocide reconstruction. From 1994 to year 2000, in 6 years, immediately after the 1994 genocide, Rwanda focused on rebuilding its infrastructure, restoring social services, and promoting reconciliation and stability. The government implemented macroeconomic reforms, attracted foreign aid and investment, and initiated programs to promote economic recovery and development. Number two, they have maintained sustained economic growth. From 2000 to 2010, Rwanda experienced robust economic growth with an average annual GDP growth rate of around 8%. Number three, Vision 2020 and economic transformation. From 2010 to 2020, Rwanda's Vision 2020 development strategy, launched in year 2000, aimed at transforming Rwanda into an economic hub that the whole world will be interested in. Number five, resilience and recovery. From 2020 to present, the COVID-19 pandemic, which devastated several countries, posed great challenge to Rwanda's economy as well. However, Rwanda's strong health response, economic stimulus measures, and digital innovation helped to mitigate the impact of the pandemic and support economic recovery. In my last visit to Rwanda, I visited the Rwandan Development Board, where they were offering, if you want to build 100 houses, mass housing in Rwanda, you will buy your land, the government will provide the electricity, the government will tar the road to your estate, and that is at no cost to you. And if you want to do 500 mass housing, the government will give you free land, tar the road, provide water, provide light. You are not buying transformer. These are indicators of seriousness of government to pursue development without regard to tribe. Key economic indicators that we find: the GDP growth in Rwanda has consistently outperformed regional and global averages in the GDP growth analysis. Anybody would be willing to invest where tribalism is killed and killed completely. That people can live as brothers is a factor that is needed for development. Human capital development in Rwanda, there has been serious investment in education, skills training, healthcare to enhance human capital development, creating a skilled workforce and promoting innovation and entrepreneurship. I visited a hospital. The modern hospital they have built in Kigali is a place to behold. We need such in Nigeria, and to stop medical tourism, which has become a bane of our nation. Sustainable development goals. Rwanda has made progress towards achieving the sustainable development goals with a focus on poverty reduction, gender equality, environmental sustainability, and inclusive growth. So, "In Brotherhood We Stand" should not just be a song. we should actually be brothers in Nigeria and across Africa. The Rwanda example has shown what is possible in Africa if we end tribalism, nepotism, and corruption. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Cast. Be sure to tune in again next week.